Okay, so today we're continuing in the Paddington Treasury book. These stories were all written by Michael Bond. And we are reading the fourth story in the book, which is called Paddington in the Garden. In the Garden. And I will be sharing some of these pictures on my Instagram. And they were all illustrated by R.W. Alley. And he's, I think, the guy who does all of the Paddington stories. So, oh, and it's read today by Mommy and
Philip.
So, are you ready, Philip?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. Here we go. One morning, Paddington went out into the garden and began making a list of all the nice things he could think of about being a bear and living with the Browns. He had a room of his own and a warm bed to sleep in, and he had marmalade for breakfast every morning. In darkest Peru, he'd only been allowed to have it on Sundays. The list was soon so long he had nearly run out of paper before he realized he had left out one of the nicest things of all, the garden itself. Paddington liked the Browns' garden. Apart from the occasional noise from a nearby building site, it was so quiet and peaceful it didn't seem like being in London at all. But nice gardens don't just happen. They usually require a lot of hard work, and the one at number 32 Windsor Gardens was no exception. Mr. Brown had to mow the lawn twice a week, and Mrs. Brown was kept busy weeding the flower beds. There was always something to do. Even Mrs. Bird lent a hand whenever she had a spare moment. And I would like to point out, for those of us who live in the United States, who think that this garden might just be a collection of flowers, it isn't. It's what people in England referred to as their backyards, right? In America, we would just call this the backyard. But in England, they call it the garden. And it has a grass, and then it also has flower beds and things like that. Okay. It was Mrs. Bird who first suggested giving Jonathan, Judy, and Paddington each a piece of the garden. "It will keep certain bears out of mischief," she said meaningly, "and it will be fun for Jonathan and Judy as well." Mr. Brown agreed. It was a very good idea. He marked out three plots at the far end of the lawn. Paddington was most excited.
"I don't suppose there are many bears who have their own garden," he exclaimed.
Early the next morning, all three set to work. Judy decided to make a flower bed, and Jonathan had his eye on some paving stones. Paddington didn't know what to do. In the past, he had often found that gardening was much harder than it looked, especially when you only had paws. In the end, armed with a jar of Mrs. Bird's homemade marmalade, he borrowed Mr. Brown's wheelbarrow and set off to look for ideas. His first stop was a stall in the market where he bought a book called How to Plan Your Garden by Lionel Trugg. It came complete with a large packet of assorted seeds. And if the picture on the front cover was anything to go by, it was no wonder Mr. Trugg looked happy, for he seemed to do most of his planning while lying in a hammock. By the end of the book, without lifting a finger, he was surrounded by blooms. Paddington decided it was a very good value indeed, especially when the owner of the stall gave him 2 pence change. Oh, you see, so not only does he have a book, but he also has some coins, and that's what pence, by the way, is. Mm-hmm. Like, here in America, we have pennies, and in England, they have pence. And just so that we are all on the same page, in America, we have dollar bills, which is our major form of currency, and they have pounds in England. It's different. It's a different kind of currency. Okay. Mr. Trugg's book was full of useful hints and tips. The first one suggested that before starting work, it was a good idea to close your eyes and try to picture what the garden would look like when it was finished. Having walked into a lamppost by mistake, Paddington decided to read another page or two, and there he found a much better idea. Mr. Trugg advised standing back and looking at the site from a safe distance, preferably somewhere high up, and Paddington knew just the spot. Where do you think he's going to go?
On top of a building?
I think you might be very astute in your observations. Let's check it out. By the time Paddington reached the building site near the Browns' house, it was the middle of the morning, and the men were all on their tea break. Also, another thing that happens in some cultures, in some parts of the world, in some countries, they have breaks during the day. Like here in England, they have a tea break, which is when they have tea time and they drink their tea and they sit back and they relax. And there are other places that do something similar. Like there's siestas that happen in Spain and all kinds of different times where you just stop and you rest in the day. We don't do so much of that here in America, but it's a brilliant idea and I really think we should. I am pro tea time or siesta or just pause time. We're not much on that here. Moving on. Okay. Placing his jar of marmalade on a wooden platform for safekeeping, he sat on a pile of bricks for a rest while he considered the matter. There was no one about, and there was a ladder nearby. What do you think he's going to do?
Climb
up. Would that be a smart choice?
No.
Why not?
Because you could fall down and get hurt.
And there's no one about, right? Mm-hmm. Mr. Trugg was quite right. The Brown's garden did look very different from high up. But before he had time to get his breath back, Paddington heard the sound of an engine starting up. He peered through a gap in the boards, and as he did so, his eyes nearly popped out. On the ground just below him, a man was emptying a load of concrete on the very spot where he had left his jar of marmalade. Paddington scrambled back down the ladder as fast as his little legs could carry him, reaching the bottom just as the foreman came around the corner. "Is anything wrong?" asked the man. "You look upset."
My jar's been buried," claimed Paddington hotly, pointing to the pile of concrete. "It had some of Mrs. Bird's best golden chunks in it, too."
"I won't ask how your jar got there," said the foreman, turning to Paddington as his men set to work clearing the concrete into small piles. "Or what you're doing up the ladder."
"I'm glad of that," said Paddington, politely raising his hat.
Suddenly, there was a whirring sound from somewhere overhead, and to Paddington's surprise, the platform landed at his feet.
"My marmalade!"
he exclaimed, thankfully.
"Your marmalade?"
repeated the foreman, staring at the jar.
"Do you say marmalade?"
"That's right," said Paddington. "I put it there, ready for my elevensies, and it must have been taken up by mistake. And now the top's come off."
It was the foreman's turn to look as though he could hardly believe his eyes.
"That's special quick drawing cement," he wailed. "It's probably rock hard already, ruined by a bear's marmalade. No one will give me tuppence for it now."
"I will," said Paddington eagerly. "I've had an idea."
Paddington was busy for the rest of the week. When the builders saw the rock garden he had made, they were most impressed, and the foreman even gave him some plants to finish it off until the seeds started to grow.
"It's National Garden Day on Saturday," he said. "There are some very famous people judging it. We'll spread the word all around. You never know your luck."
The foreman was as good as his word, and on Saturday, half the neighborhood turned up at number 32 Windsor Gardens to see the judges arrive. Paddington nearly fell over backwards with surprise when he discovered that no less a person than Mr. Lionel Trugg himself was leading the procession. Now, those are some pretty big words, and it's perhaps a little strangely phrased for what we're used to. What do you think it means when it says this, that he discovered that no less a person than Mr. Lionel Trugg himself was leading the procession? What do you think that means?
That means he was leading all of
them. Who?
That guy.
Mr. Lionel Trugg?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's true. And he is the person who is bringing everyone else in.
"That's very good of you to get out of..."
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not Mr. Trugg. It's still Paddington.
"It's very good of you to get out of your hammock, Mr. Trugg," he exclaimed.
"Not at all," said Lionel Trugg. "My pleasure, I must say. I love your orange stones. Where did you find them?"
"I didn't," said Paddington. "I think they found me, thanks to the builders."
"Congratulations,"
said Mr. Trugg as he handed Paddington a gold star.
"It's good to see a young bear taking up gardening. I hope you will be the first of many."
"Who would have believed it?"
said Mr. Brown as the last of the crowd departed.
"You must write and tell Aunt Lucy all about it," said Mrs. Bird. "They'll be very excited in the Home for Retired Bears when they've heard the news."
Paddington thought that was a good idea, but he had something to do first. He wanted to add one more important item to his list of all the nice things that there were about being a bear and living with the Browns.
"Having my own rock garden."
And then he signed his name and added his special paw print just to show that it was genuine, which is another way of saying that it was real, that it was truly, honestly meant. And I, in case our friends who are listening, I'll put some of these pictures, like I said, up on my Instagram, because it's not exactly clear from... unless you can see the pictures, what's really happened and how the rocks turned orange and what the rocks were. But our friends here at the building site dug up all of this cement, and they formed into rocks. And then the marmalade fell on top of them and broke. And then the rocks all turned orange. And that is why he had them in his garden. And that is what made his garden so interesting to see. And there will be pictures on my Instagram. And that is the end of this story. And we can say the end, can we not?
Good luck.
Good luck.
And the end.
And the end. Good luck. And the end.